1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're
sneezing and itching and blowing and coughing.
Scratching and.
Yep. Keep going.
Drooling.
Yep.
And.
One more.
Aching.
Aching is good.
And
Clay Aiken. Flaking. All right, everyone. It's allergy season.
This is Shannon that's got an allergy season watch.
Pew, 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 pew. Allergy update.
Allergy update. It's bad out there, guys.
Stay inside.
I don't get allergies.
Oh, so you don't commiserate.
I can't. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I've been having quite a day or two.
Well, I did have a fever the last 2 days.
Yeah, which you didn't tell me about till after we shared a glass of water.
Yeah, that's Thanks. True.
Thanks a lot.
You're not going to catch a fever.
That's okay. You can't say that. Think of how many people throughout history died from catching a fever.
Okay, but they called everything a fever.
Yeah.
If you had like real bad syphilis, they'd be like, you've got the penis fever. Like everything was just a fever or a humor.
I think the penis fever is something different. Well, the one nice thing about allergy season.
About penis fever.
The one nice thing about allergy season.
You make a lot of friends.
Yes. Is that the tree outside our apartment building is fully green and lush now. And the nicest thing about that is that you can't see all the plastic bags stuck in the branches anymore.
Nature finds a way to continue.
Finds a way.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, all the plastic bags are hidden.
It's a much prettier view.
It's much nicer.
Aww. It's like if Charlie Brown's little sad Christmas tree just had plastic bags hanging off it. That's basically what's outside of our window until now, and it's beautiful and green.
I didn't even like realize when the tree bloomed. Like it was
it
like
literally
overnight.
Happened in like a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. And then it like threw all its pollen on your face. You walked outside and it was like.
It was like,
here.
<Ha-cha>!
Just for you, Scott.
I honestly was thinking about this yesterday that, like, what if nature is like, you know, everyone talks about like nature is like a network, you know, like trees are a network and everything. What if nature is so mad at the way humanity is treating it that it is like purposefully making allergies worse for us?
Worse and worse and worse.
Yep.
Yeah,
Earth is no longer habitable.
It's just spiteful pollen.
It's spite pollen.
It
definitely
is. Spite pollen. I'm sorry that you're feeling itching and scratching and weeping.
Sneezing.
Weeping and.
I think I said blowing.
Blowing. Yeah,
as
you
in
did.
Nose.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm still able to talk, and that's good for what we do here on Song Salad,
which is right. To write a short song about a random topic in a random style of music.
And we get the random genre and topic by spinning the salad spinner, which is a suggestion of a noise or impression or thing for us to do that comes from you, our loyal listeners. And Shannon has some exciting news about the salad spinners.
Yes, please laud me because I have put them in an actual order. And again, this order was slightly arbitrary.
Sure.
Because we had lists from two people. Autumn Clark and Claire Dixon sent big lists of salad spinners. And we've kind of been like picking and choosing from them as we go.
Picking.
And
choosing.
And spinning.
Hey.
Woo. And I didn't want to just do like a run of each one. I wanted to intersperse them. So first what I did is I alternated all of them. So it goes like Autumn Clare, Autumn Clare, Autumn Clare. Mm-hmm. And then I put in other people's more recent suggestions in between those ones. So they're all spread out. And now we have salad spinner suggestions through August. So
That's
we have
crazy.
Many weeks of salad spinner suggestions. And then our listener, Ben Silver, at This Is Ben Silver on Twitter, reminded us that he had sent us a salad spinner suggestion back in October in a direct message, which we had never gotten to because I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was like, I read it wrong. in the message.
Yeah.
But now that I'm rereading it, I'm like, oh, I understand what he wanted from us.
Yeah, because, yeah. So I thought he was saying...
Well, let's read it.
Yeah. Well, here, so for my...
We could just keep talking about it without reading it.
Yeah, it would be very...
I thought he was...
evasive. Yeah. So here's his salad spinner suggestion. Okay. So for my first ever spinner suggestion, I would like to request each of you getting a tattoo.
I thought he was saying each of you get a tattoo. And we were like, that's a little extreme, Ben Silver.
Yes, exactly. I thought it was like, record yourselves each getting a tattoo. Right. And it was like a joke suggestion.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Was not.
It was the sound of each of us getting a tattoo.
So thank you, Ben Silver, for your salad spinner suggestion from October. We're finally doing it.
I have tattoos.
Yeah. So do you want to make the noise that you usually make while receiving tattoos?
Yeah, sure. Will you be the needle?
I don't know what it sounds like, but I can try.
It sounds like a buzz.
Okay, I'll buzz. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. This is pretty boring. It's actually not that bad getting a tattoo.
Oops, I slipped.
Oh.
Spin.
Fired. Ew. This wrong podcast.
No, I'm doing our genre this week. I'm chewing
bubblegum.
Bubblegum pop is our genre.
Get to do that again. Super good.
It's back.
Your mouth pop is back. What are we doing? Bubblegum pop.
Yes, it's a genre of pop music with an upbeat sound, contrived and marketed to appeal to preteens and teenagers, mm-hmm. just like this podcast, which may be produced in an assembly line process.
Also driven, like this podcast. Yeah,
driven by producers and often using unknown singers.
Also like this podcast.
Yeah. Bubblegum's classic period ran from 1967 to 1972. A second wave of bubblegum began 2 years later and ran until 1977 when disco took over and punk rock emerged. And everyone was like, we need something else.
Yeah, please, dear God.
Anything else.
The genre was predominantly a singles phenomenon. So no married people here. No, it was song releases
rather than albums.
Yeah. Acts were typically manufactured in the studio using session musicians, and most bubblegum pop groups were one-hit wonders.
Do you know what a session musician is?
Someone who like just plays for everybody at a studio.
Yeah, so you're not like in a specific band. You don't travel with that band, but you record their songs for the albums. And there's a great documentary that is on Netflix right now called Hired Gun about... specifically rock and roll and like hard rock session musicians and like touring musicians who have played with like hundreds of amazing artists and have like iconic guitar solos and stuff, but you've never heard of them before.
Yeah.
So I recommend checking out Hired Gun on Netflix if you want to learn more about session musicians.
Cool. Tell me some bubblegum people that I might know.
Some bubblegum people you might know. Among the best known acts of the golden era of bubblegum, again, that's 1967 to 1972, are 1910 Fruit Gum Company. Never heard of them.
Okay.
The Monkees, who I've definitely heard of.
Yes.
They also had the TV show.
Yep.
The Ohio Express and the Archies, an animated group, which had the most successful bubblegum song with Sugar Sugar, Billboard magazine's number one single for 1969.
So that's the honey boop 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 boop. Oops, I did
you started
the wrong
with
one.
The wrong word. Let's go with the title. Sugar.
honey.
I didn't realize that was an animated group.
Me either. We should do a little bit of research into that animated group.
We should. Also, singer Tommy Rowe, arguably, had the most bubblegum hits of any artist during this period, notably his 1969 song, Dizzy.
Do you know Dizzy?
I don't think I've heard of that. We'll check him out and maybe we'll use that as an example.
Yeah.
Characteristics of bubblegum pop. The songs typically have sing-along choruses, seemingly childlike themes.
Well, and it's for teens.
Yep. And a contrived innocence occasionally combined with an undercurrent of sexual double entendre.
Oh.
Interesting. And that's definitely that, like, you know, like the Monkees or like the Partridge Family, that perceived, like, you know, all American, great family with, like, nothing to hide. And
yep.
and they teach you life lessons as they go about singing their songs and waving their tambourines.
Waving their tambourines.
That means penis fever.
Got the penis fever. Can we call our bubblegum pop song
penis fever? Penis, I guess, fever. It depends on the topic, but hopefully.
Not really an undercurrent of double entendre there. That's single entendre right there.
It's just entendre.
Okay, can I please read this next sentence?
Yeah, of course.
Bubblegum songs had a catchy melody, simple chords, simple harmonies, and were dancey, but not necessarily danceable.
What does that mean?
What in the actual world?
Is that just another way of saying like upbeat?
I don't know. So dancey has a linked article on Wikipedia, but danceable does not.
You know what I'm picturing is dancey, but not danceable is the dance move when you just move your arms to the side and snap, and then move your arms to the other side and snap. So you're just going like,
you're just a temptation in the back.
You're a single temptation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to go with.
So we'll figure out what dancey but not danceable means. repetitive riffs and hooks and a vocally multiplied refrain.
Vocally multiplied refrain.
So that means like one singer just like doubled over and over?
I think maybe what they really mean is like if the refrain is sugar, mm-hmm. you just say sugar a lot of times in a row. Sugar, 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 sugar.
Really?
I don't know. Vocally multiplied?
Anyway.
I don't know.
The lyrics often feature themes of romantic love and personal happiness with aww. References to...
Oh my God, this is great.
Sunshine, platonic love,
mm-hmm.
toys,
mm-hmm.
colors,
yep.
nonsense words, etc.
They are also notable for their frequent reference to sugary food, including sugar, honey, butterscotch, jelly, and marmalade.
All right. I promise you, no matter what, I will use a sugary food.
Yes. And sunshine.
And sunshine or toys or colors.
Cross-marketing with cereal and bubblegum manufacturers also strengthened the link between bubblegum songs and confectionery.
That's so crazy. Wow.
Cardboard Records by the Archies, the Banana Splits, the Jackson 5, the Monkees, Bobby Sherman, Josie and the Pussycats, sorry. H.R. Puffin Stuff, and other acts were included on the backs of cereal boxes in the late 1960s and early 1970s, while acts including the Brady Bunch had their own brands of chewing gum as a result of licensing deals with TV networks and record companies.
So yeah, that's like the perfect example is the Brady Bunch family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, okay. So that animated group.
The Archies.
Yes. Was based on the Archie comic characters.
Yeah.
So that's where that came from.
I get it.
So a naked pander to the teen market.
Just one interesting thing about the idea that these are sort of assembly line songs and mm-hmm. producer led rather than artist led. For example, the Monkees began as a prefabricated fictional rock group concocted to sell records and TV advertising times, but then the band later wrestled their own creative control from their creators.
That's pretty cool.
It was
cool.
Like Frankenstein's monster being like, I'm taking my songs and leaving.
It came to life.
Yeah.
Neat.
Or it's like, this had a resurgence with boy bands, you know, mm-hmm. with like O-Town.
O-Town.
And
yep.
What was that like parody boy band?
Together,
yes. Making fun of this exact thing of like fabricating these bands.
Yeah. And think also of our K-pop episode, number yes. 2 on the moon, which was our live episode. If you
still one of my favorite titles.
It's very good. If you scroll back to that one, it was in January. You can hear a little bit more about how these artist factories kind of work, because that's definitely still the case in Korean pop music.
Oh, yeah. Other quick examples, like we said, Partridge Family, starring Shirley Jones and David Cassidy,
mm-hmm.
the Jackson 5, the Osmonds.
Oh, of course.
We've talked about Suzy Quatro before.
Yeah, but like
she's mentioned here too.
As a like great bass player.
But she also performed on Happy Days. So I think that's why they
mentioned
her.
Right.
There was another.
What was her name? It was like Lavender Tuscadero or something.
It was Pinky and
Leather. Leather
Tuscadero.
That was close with lavender.
Another song you might know is Patti Page's "How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?"
Yeah.
I Think We're Alone Now.
Bang Shang-a-Lang.
Tommy Rowe. Why don't we listen to some examples?
Yeah. We found Sugar Sugar, the little animated music video kind of thing.
From 1969. Here's the Archies. Sugar Sugar.
Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. You are my candy girl. And you got me wanting.
If you want to go on YouTube and check out the music video for it, it's pretty adorable. And it's like, you know, cute dancing in front of a background of actual bubblegum and candies.
Yeah,
and
it's like very on the nose.
Other songs that we thought of and found on the search for an example, The Monkees' Daydream Believer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Believer. So think about those.
Just think about them.
Put them in your head.
Meditate. On those ones.
You think we're ready to get a topic?
I think we're ready to get a topic. We all kind of get what this is. It's not a very deep genre this week.
But we can get pretty specific with the types of references, which is fun.
True, true.
I think it's like, it's a good category for us for lyrics.
Yeah, you know? Agree.
It's great. All right. Time for me to get a tattoo.
So.
For real.
Have we talked about this on the podcast that Scott has a huge phobia of needles?
Yeah, you kind of ruined what I was gonna do for my sound.
Oh no,
I was just gonna drop the microphone on the floor.
Well, I was gonna tell one of my most like salient memories of Scott in college is, okay, so we were out at this like shitty diner place called the O.
Oh.
And it was like a hot dog store. Hot dog store,
yes.
It was like a hot dog shop and like fries.
One of those places where if you ordered the large fry, it would just be like a cafeteria tray covered in paper and French fries.
Yes, exactly. And it was like open till 4 a.m. So it was like always like where all the drunk people in like the little college-y area that we went to school in would go to. And like one time I was there and I saw a guy got thrown through a plate glass window.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was like a rough little joint. Anyway, I was there with Scott and we were drinking milkshakes and you were telling me about the really bad date you had just gone on.
Yeah.
Where the girl brought flashcards.
Conversation topics.
And we were commiserating over a milkshake and you just like looked at me and you were like, I feel weird.
I did.
And I was like, weird. Okay, well, we can go. Like, let's like get out of here. So we like got up to leave and you like got really dizzy and like
by plopped, Tommy Rowe.
Yeah. Plopped down on the sidewalk outside. And like we were like the only people not drunk there probably. And I was like, okay, that's not good. So we called my then boyfriend who had a Mini Cooper.
I forgot about the Mini Cooper.
To take you to the emergency room. And we went to Shadyside Hospital to the emergency room and they like couldn't find anything wrong with you. And you were like, oh, maybe it's because I drank a whole bottle of blueberry wine with Kate Bukinskis last night.
Been like a full 24 hours, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, and they were like, yeah, maybe you're dehydrated. We're not sure. Like,
right.
We're going to give you an IV. And then all the terrible things happened. Oof. Because Scott heard that he was going to get an IV.
I don't think I had ever had an IV before in my life.
But you'd had blood drawn, yes?
Yes. Yes, I must have. Yeah. I must have.
And I will say, the male nurse was not sympathetic to you.
It was bad.
Like, in any way. And, like, did not give a shit that you were very terrified of this needle. And I just remember the nurse was getting ready to put your IV in, and you were like, shouldn't distract me. And I was like, what do you want me to do? And I just remember you like full rage face yelling at me, tell me a joke. And I was like, like, I didn't know. I'd like never been yelled at by you before. Yep. And I like didn't know what to do. And then the nurse is like, it's done.
Panic mode. Full fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been getting better in my old age.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you had to have more like needles?
Well, I mean, like I got a flu shot this year and I just like went into the like Dwayne Reed and got it done and went on with my day.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
I can do it without passing out now.
Yeah. Well, because you had passed out before in
usually,
certain situations.
Most often.
Yeah. 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 But I still maintain that you'd be able to get a tattoo.
You think so?
Because you cannot see the needle and it does not look or feel like a needle.
Okay.
It just looks like a little like pen that they're drawing on you with.
Yeah.
But it's like a big like gun thing.
Pen gun.
Pen gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's imagine
I'm sorry,
getting a tattoo.
I'm sorry I ruined your sound.
And now my sound would be done. Thanks for giving me just that tiny tattoo dot. That's all I need.
Then, Terutomo Yamazaki.
Born July 31st, 1947.
Is a Japanese karateka from the Kyokushin Kaiken and professional lightweight kickboxer.
We have ourselves a karate master.
Woohoo!
Karate grandmaster. Sorry, I misspoke.
It's Terutomo or Terutomo?
We'll never know. I could try to put it in Google Translate, see what it says.
Okay. Or just see if there's a way to pronounce it. Terutomo. Terutomo. Terutomo.
Okay.
So it's kind of Terutomo, right?
Terutomo.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
All right.
His nicknames are the Dragon of Kyokushin and the Genius Karate Fighter.
Okay. Somebody needs to get... Maybe it sounds better in Japanese.
I was just going to say, it probably sounds much cooler in Japanese. He was active between 1969 and 1970, which is great for our genre this week.
Hitting the sweet spot.
He is a first champion of the All Japan Full Contact Karate Open Championships in 1969 and has promoted Kyokushin, famous through his accomplishments. Okay, great.
Not great English in this article.
Because he fought and defeated Muay Thai boxers, he created a reputation for Kyokushin before the first All Japan Open Full Contact Karate Championships was held. So he is a highly skilled authority on fighting and breaking. When he fought someone, it was usual that he knocked them out without receiving any injuries himself.
Wow. And breaking in this context means breaking boards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk more about that.
Yeah.
He has shown off his mixed karate and Muay Thai styles of fighting at both full contact open championships and at kickboxing, and has been noted internationally as a prominent fighter in karate's history, appearing in Black Belt magazine in the United States.
Oh, yeah. That's
Look,
how
Ma,
you know you've made it.
He made it.
He like kind of quickly ascended the ranks in his dojo, it seems like. He got his black belt in just 2 years, which is an unusually short period of time because he was so talented. And he got to be a second degree black belt by 1967.
Let's talk about breaking stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
So breaking, like Shannon said, means breaking things like boards. And the type of board listed here is cryptomeria.
And I will tell you what a cryptomeria is.
The challenge was to break the boards with bare hands, bare elbows, and bare legs. Competitors could use four types of techniques: punching, tsuki, kicking, carry, knife hand strike, and elbow. The winner was decided by the total number of broken boards. Yamazaki broke four boards by punching, seven by kicking, six by knife hand strike, and seven by elbow, with a total of 24, and won the breaking championship at the fifth All Japan Open Championships in 1973. His record was not broken for a while, but it was exceeded in total breaking and reached a new height with Willie Williams, a karateka from the United States, at the second World Full Contact Karate Open Championships in 1979. He broke five boards by punching, six by kicking, eight by knife hand strike, and seven by elbow, with a total of 26.
Oh, usurped.
Only by two, though.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So Cryptomeria is Japanese red cedar.
Oh.
I don't know why in this Wikipedia article they have chosen to use its scientific name.
Probably but it because is, of a translation thing.
Yeah. It is a monotypic genus of conifer.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all.
Cool. So we're going to write a bubblegum pop song about this karate master who's good at breaking stuff and also opened up a now famous like school of karate.
Super cool.
He's still alive. He's 70 years old.
Terutomo Yamazaki.
Yes.
Here we go.
Well, this genre has plenty for us to play with.
It's just syrupy, sugary, sweet.
It is. I listen to more songs, specifically like Partridge Family, I Think I Love You, But What Am I So Afraid Of? And Brady Bunch, Sunshine Day, I Think I'll Go For A Walk Outside Now. Things like that. And some of the things that I love musically and instrumentally from this genre mm-hmm. are the use of like strange sounding organs and like harpsichord
yeah,
and like clavinova so piano kind of sounds. Like,
yeah,
they sound a little out of place, but then they also put you so solidly in the late 60s that you're yes. like, yeah, this is right.
Yeah.
Lots of orchestral instruments too. Strings, flutes, horns, fun. You know, brass licks and things like that. Standard rock band backing, guitar, bass, drums, a lot of times acoustic guitar too, always tambourine. It's ubiquitous.
Guys, we watched this one video of, who was it? What was the band?
That was,
it was the 1910 Fruit Gum.
The 1910 Fruit Gum
Company.
Fruit
Gum Company.
Yes.
And there was a man, and he had inexplicably two tambourines, which he was doing like very detailed tambourine choreo.
He spun one like on one hand like a basketball. He was like the Harlem Globetrotter of the tambourine.
I mostly just love that he was like step touching and then flipping his tambourines like over right. alternately like in his hands. And it was like, why does anybody need two tambourines is the question really.
But if you have them, that's the way to use them.
You know I love me some tambourines.
Yes, yes.
Every time we go to karaoke. I'm never happier than when somebody gives me the tambourine in the karaoke booth.
I have, I've had bruises from that tambourine at karaoke.
Wait, don't make it seem like I hit you with the tambourine.
No. I from my own use, hitting it on my own wrist and to my thigh.
Yes. Yeah. I don't hit Scott with the tambourine.
Usually.
It's only on accident when I get really excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to incorporate a lot of those elements. Definitely do an upbeat dancey but not danceable song.
Yeah,
for
we
you.
Never really figured out what that meant.
And then vocal style, usually male lead singers with yeah. background vocals from both men and women, echoing the hooks and also doing like oohs and la la's and things like that in the background. And just like very poppy and fun. So let's do it.
Well, I have lyrics for okay. you.
Do tell.
Oh, just to like let everybody know before I read my lyrics, the linked word dancey in the Wikipedia article just redirects to dance music. So I'm calling bullshit on that. Dancey but not danceable.
Bad link.
I guess I can kind of get what you mean. Because like if you think about like everybody singing Sunshine Day, like you're not going to like dance to it.
But you can like move.
You can bop. You can bop to it.
A lot of the dancing that's in the music videos is just like, yeah, leaning back and forth, bopping, walking in place and swinging your arms.
It's just synchronous bopping.
Moving your knees. Like there's a video of the monkeys doing Daydream Believer and the lead singer is just kind of like flailing in a like looks like he's in an upside down circus tent. Alone.
Upside down circus tent alone.
I'll show you. You'll
that
get
was
what
so
I mean.
Specific, Scott.
Well, you're going to be like, yes, that's accurate when I show you. See, upside down circus tent alone.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because the set looks like that.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Okay. But like, I thought you were just like, the way he is moving implies that he is in an upside down circus tent.
No. Cheer up, Sleepy Jean.
Cheer up, Sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean?
To ah.
Remember when women were named Jean a lot?
Are you nostalgic for those days?
No, but I'm just saying that like Jean is not a very popular women's name now, but it definitely was.
Yeah, that's true. Wonder why.
Let's see when Jean peaked on the naming charts.
Do you think the advent of blue jeans made people name their kid Jean less because they didn't want to be associated with the pant?
But like blue jeans have been around since like the gold rush.
Were they always called blue jeans though, or did that name come about later?
I don't know.
Weren't they called like dungarees before then?
Were they? Or just Levi's?
Or Levi's? The name Levi is still in fashion. What'd you find?
No, I'm just laughing at you being stupid about the name Levi.
What's wrong with Levi? It's a good name.
Hold on. I'm trying.
Not that Jean's a bad name.
So you can, you know, you can search the Social Security database for name popularity.
No.
Yeah. So
I do you do this often?
No, but like I've done it before. All right. I want you to guess.
The like year of peak Jean.
Well, yes, I will want you to do that. But yeah. First, right now, I want you to guess the number one male and female name.
Of 2018.
Of, I guess it's 2016 is the most complete year of data that
they
have.
So the most popular male and female names of kids born in 2016.
Yes.
Oh, man. For men, I'm going to say Linus.
What in the world?
I know a lot of Linuses.
Do you?
A lot of baby Linuses.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are they all?
New York, mostly.
Really? It's not Linus.
It was a good guess.
It was not, but I will... okay, do you want to know...
Wait, yeah, tell me the boy, and then I'll guess the girl.
Noah.
Noah. Okay, sure. Biblical. Get us ready for the upcoming flood, I guess. Women, I'm going to say Emmy.
Emma.
Emma. Yeah. I was so close.
You got it. That was Emma. Good. Yeah. So that's 2016. So, all right. I want you to guess. So I'm looking from the year 1900 on.
Yeah.
How popular Jean was.
Okay.
And
like J-E-A-N?
J-E-A-N for women specifically.
Right.
And I want you to guess when it peaked.
Well, I think it's probably around this same era. So I'm going to say 1973.
No.
Oh, am I very far off?
Yeah.
Is it much earlier?
I mean, okay, comparatively, 1973, it was the 230th most popular name.
Oh.
But compared to today, or no, compared to, why can it only go up to 1994?
No one ever named their kid Jean after 1994.
Only 189 people. Wait. Yeah, only 189 people, which made it 980th in the rank.
Wow, it really slipped.
So
what year? So in 1973, it was in the 200s. So what was the peak?
The peak year? Peak year, there were several years where it fluctuated back and forth between 12th and 14th.
Wow, high.
Yeah, very high. And those were in the 1920s.
The 20s. Okay.
But I just associate it with that era for some reason.
Well, I mean, that song has a lot to do with it, I bet.
Yeah, probably. This is a good game.
Well, let's look at 1969.
Okay.
What were the most popular male and female names?
Okay.
Or actually, can I look before you see it and make you guess?
Yes. You can put the name in or the year in there. 1969.
Yeah. When all of this music was at its height.
Yeah. Guys, we had a boo-boo.
We had a system overload on my computer and we lost a bunch of audio.
Lost like probably 12 minutes of dumb audio.
My computer is starting to understand that it should cut us off when we're off topic.
Your computer is censoring
it's
us.
It's like, guys, get back on topic.
I do love... Okay, I couldn't tell if our listener, Krista Dupes, was being sarcastic or not because I tweeted... Like, oh my God, please somebody tweeted us and get us back on track.
Right.
And she tweeted, don't ever get back on track.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell if she was being sarcastic or if she actually likes when we're not on track. But like, hi, thank you, Krista, either way. but yeah, your computer is listening and it's like, this is dumb.
We definitely got off track. So
We went down a rabbit hole.
As you heard, the last thing that was actually recorded was like, hey, Shannon, guess the popular names in 1969. And then we also did 1988. And we
had a whole guessing game.
We named like the top 20 of all of them.
Yeah, we had a long...
But long story short, top names in 1969 were...
Michael and Lisa.
And in 1988, the year Shannon and I were born, they were Michael again. And...
Jessica. Anyway.
So there's that. Now Shannon's going to tell us her lyrics.
I have lyrics. So basically, I just tried to like... Bubblegum Pop is so relentlessly upbeat.
Yeah.
That I tried to take like what would otherwise maybe be like a serious or scary topic, which is like fighting,
yeah.
And turned it sugary and sweet.
Good.
And I made it about like kind of like a little love song about Tarutamo.
Tarutamo.
Yes. All right. So here we go. We've got a chorus or blah, blah. We've got a verse, then a chorus, then a verse, then a chorus.
Good order.
Thank you. the traditional order. He broke down my walls with a quick knife hand strike as he fought his way out of my dreams. This Japanese man who taught us to fight. He's the number one kicking machine. And then here's the chorus. Punch my heart, Tarutamo. Bludgeon your love into me. Punch my heart, you dragon genius. Then give me that elbow and knee.
Nice.
With a fistful of sugar, he punches through boards.
There's the sugar.
His feet are like murderous candy. A sweet tart assassin who's breaking records.
Ooh.
And I think his black belt is dandy.
Yes, it is.
Then punch my heart, Tarutamo, bludgeon, love, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you. I use lots of candy and confectionery.
Murderous candy.
You can't see it at home, but I was doing arm motions with the lyrics.
Very sunshiny arm motions.
Yes.
And if you had a tambourine in your hand, it would have sounded great.
Do you have a tambourine?
I don't. I don't own a tambourine.
That's a mistake.
It would be my most annoying instrument.
It would be the best. I conflated both of his nicknames into Dragon Genius instead of Dragon of Kinoshiwa and Genius of Karate Moves or whatever it was.
Genius of Board Chopping.
Yeah.
Okay. And are we calling this Punch My Heart?
I think we have to.
Punch My Heart.
Yeah, Punch My Heart.
Musically, I'm starting with a harpsichord intro.
Excellent.
That then goes into the drum and bass and guitar coming in. I'm definitely going to have a lot of background vocals in this one. And what do you think? Should we do brass or should we do like strings and flute? I'm thinking brass.
Okay.
Poppy brass, perpy horns.
Perpy horns are one of my weaknesses. Tambourines and perpy horns, you're talking my language. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Cool. Let's do it.
Okay.
Here is Punch My Heart.
A bubblegum pop song.
About Yamazaki Tarutamo.
No, Tarutamo Yamazaki.
Oh, it can go either way.
Yeah, that's actually true. Okay.
Depending on if you're in Japan or not. The Karate Grandmaster.
By Shannon and Scott.
He broke down my walls with a quick knife hand strike as he fought his way out of my dreams. La, la, la. This Japanese man who taught us to fight, he's the number one kicking machine. Punch my heart, Tarutamo, bludgeon your love. Dragon genius, then give me that elbow and knee. Give me that elbow and knee. With a fistful of sugar, he punches through boards. His feet are like murderous candy. A sweet tart assassin who's breaking records. And I think his black belt is dandy. Punch my heart, Tarutamo. Bludgeon your love into me. Bludgeon your love into me. Punch my heart, you dragon genius. Then give me that elbow and knee. Give me that elbow and knee.
Oh, sugary, sweet, and fun. Sugar and spice and everything nice. And fistfuls of sugar.
That song punched me right in the heart. It did.
Is getting punched in the heart with sugar diabetes?
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that that's actually the medical technical term for it.
You've punch been punched in the heart. Diabetes.
No.
Give me your insulin shot.
I was skeptical at first of the harpsichord.
Were you?
Well, I mean, I knew what you were going for, but I was like, I don't know how like real it's going to sound, but it sounds pretty accurate to like what was happening at the time.
I'm glad you think so.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely something that you find in music from this era, even with like the Beatles and stuff.
Yeah.
And
just, like, yeah.
Harpsichord sounds here and there. It's just like, I don't know. I think it adds to that sense of innocence that they talk about in the Wikipedia article, where it's like, well, if it has something that sounds like classical music in it, it must be okay to listen to. You know, it's not that like evil Elvis hip swinging rock and roll that my parents don't want me to hear, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That it's got a harpsichord. Swinging. It's basically Mozart.
If you watched Elvis swing his hips, did you get penis fever?
Yes. Elvis was the leading cause of penis fever back then.
But he died of a punch to the heart with a fistful of sugar.
That's true.
Yikes.
Well, if you like Karate Grandmasters and Bubblegum Pop
and being punched in the heart,
then you might like some of our back catalog.
Yeah. And please go listen and recommend our podcast to your friends. Word of mouth really does help. And if each of you tells one person about Song Salad, then we will double our listenership.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Mathematically.
And you got to meet one of our listeners.
I did. I got to hang out with Nubia when she was visiting New York City.
Noobs.
It was really fun.
How cool is that? That we did not know her before this podcast.
Uh-huh.
She found us online. And then she visited New York City and you got to see her.
And we had that moment of like just sitting down and hanging out and talking. And then like, you know, 15, 20 minutes in the conversation being like, you know, it really feels like we know each other, but we don't really know anything about each other. And like, you know, having fun catch up conversations and like learning more about each other. And it was really cool.
That was so cool. That's the like the second real listener we got to meet. Meet Ben Silver, who thank you again for our salad spinner suggestion this week.
Yes.
Sorry
it was so late.
Yeah, that was our bad. And now we got to meet Nubia, and I was out of town, which is a bummer, but
well,
in the
visit
future.
New York, people.
Yeah, come to New York. We're not coming to you.
We're not coming to you.
So
make no promises. I did also hand deliver Nubia's sticker to her, since she's a Patreon donor as well. If you want to be a Patreon donor, you can go to patreon.com/songsalad and find out all about it.
Or you can go to songsaladpodcast.com, which is our website, and you'll find the information at the bottom of the page.
If you donate $5 a month or more, you get access to our Bontent, our bonus content, in which you can find things like the children's musical Shannon and I wrote or the ASMR spinoff podcast that we've started. And a lot of bloopers and bonus conversations
of us messing things up when we're trying to record songs. We'll be sending out the stickers to everyone who gave us their address this week. As soon as I find my stamps and envelope in the pile of things that we have not unpacked yet from the move. But we have all of your information now. And if you become a Patreon donor, we'll give you a sticker.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
Tweet at us at SongSaladCast. We do have salad spinners through August, like we said, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't send them our way. We'll add them to the list.
Yes.
And rate and review us on iTunes.
Yes, please rate and review us. We'll give you a shout out.
Thanks. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're...
Shannon literally just punched me in the heart.
One, two, gotcha. Three.
Ow!
Thank you.